Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Okay, episode number eight.
So crazy. We're recording on a Friday, so we've been kind of going through the peaks of the week, which are really, really fun because they're so varied, which is what I really like. Mm-hmm. Some people say, you know, my boyfriend surprised me, or I surprised my boyfriend. Or
there were a lot of boyfriends.
There were a lot of working out ones. There were ones about buying new shoes, which I really liked.
A lot of career ones, which I love.
I love them too. And I like I like the ones that are like, I killed the job interview, and that's what they're happy about. Like, I hope I get the job, but it comes across like they're so happy that they did well in the interview, which I think is such a great positive attitude to have about it.
It's not like they necessarily got good news.
Right.
They just feel good about themselves.
Totally. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And also there was one that really stuck with me that was about finally having a tough conversation with a friend, because that's like so hard, and it obviously was a challenge for that person to do, but I was glad that someone registered that as a peak, because it's really hard to like have tough conversations with friends.
Yes.
So, I mean, congrats to all the people who are doing that out there.
Yeah. And you know what? Congratulations to everyone out there who found a peak of the week.
Yes.
Because that's really the point of the peak of the week. It's just like, how can you find joy in your week? And sometimes it might seem like everything's going wrong, mm-hmm. but we love to see that people are finding moments in the week that make them happy, or brought a smile to their face in that moment.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. Mazel tov. Congratulations.
I think, and this is going to fall into the theme of today's episode, which is sort of about planning and productivity and how that can really overwhelm us or it can help us thrive. And one of the things I was thinking about was like, wow, I need a new planner, and I kind of want to get a planner that has space where I can write down little things that happen each day, because mm-hmm. it's more easy for me to identify the peak of the week than it is for every single day to kind of find the light. Because even today, like, it was just a hard day and it's Friday, and there was a moment when an attorney at work was just very, very thankful for me helping him, and I wrote it down because I was like, okay, like, I need this to stick in my brain so that when in 20 minutes when I'm really stressed, that this person's gratitude sticks in my brain. And mm-hmm. so I'm able to carry through those tougher moments better, which is kind of goes back to what we talked about our first episode. Mm-hmm. So do you want to start off with your peak of the week, your pit and peak?
Yeah, for sure. My pit of the week was yesterday night. I was leaving a beautiful night, and Mom and Dad, please don't be mad at me. I accidentally took a subway from Queens by myself, which, you know, most people wouldn't think is a big deal, but right. It was like, you know, I think it was like 10 p.m.
Yeah, but the kicker is your phone.
Yeah, so my phone was dead. And, you know, I went with my friends to the subway station, but the E rolled up and I was like, this seems more efficient for me. So I just got on and I was alone. And then the doors closed, and suddenly I realized there was like only two other people or three other people on the subway. You know, I was really nervous based on just like who these people were. No offense to the guys out there, but like it was older men,
yeah.
You know, it was older men.
Yeah.
And as a 25-year-old girl, I was nervous to be on the subway by myself.
Right.
My phone was dead.
Yeah.
And then of course the subway stops in the middle of the platform. Mm-hmm. It's 10 p.m. I have no idea what's going on, and there's no subway conductor that tells us what's happening for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was just, and one of the men on the subway started like yelling, like, you know, something was going on in his own world. I just like really started freaking out. Thank God I'm okay. But it was definitely like pitiful.
Right. Pitiful.
Pitiful. Yeah. But my peak of the week was that I had a beautiful night before that with some of my closest friends, Liz being one of them.
Hey.
And, you know, we celebrated my birthday again, which was completely unexpected, but really, really nice. And we got together to have some deep conversations, mm-hmm. some meaningful conversations. And, you know, I know a lot of group of friends don't get to do that very often together.
Yeah.
So it was very special. One of our friends who's in this group that Liz and I are both in, Odelia, she's very spiritual. And last night, after I had my subway moment, she sent me a voice note telling me that there are times where right after a great thing happens, there tends to be something not great that happens to it, whatever you believe in.
Yep.
But what we believe in is that like an evil inclination comes in and puts that bad thing right after the good thing so that you're clouded and you don't remember the good thing that happened. So she was like, just try and focus on like the positive night that you just had,
mm-hmm.
And not try not to let the like 25 bad minutes cloud the whole night, because that's what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. And so I was able to kind of just take a deep breath and say, okay, that was scary, but I'm okay. And I'm not going to use my night to just think about this. I'm going to reflect on the beautiful night I had. So overall, it was great, and I learned a lesson from it. And so that was my pit and peak of the week.
My pit of the week is this was sort of my pit of last week also, but it's a little bit different. My pit of the week is I am having a lot of trouble falling asleep. And that has never happened to me. My whole life, I've been a very easy sleeper. And I still am. When I get to sleep, I sleep very deeply. Like, I usually don't wake up, knock on wood. But I'm having trouble getting to sleep. I know that the easy solution is to put my phone down, like, at 9. If my goal is to go to bed by 10 because I wake up early, put the phone away at 9 if I have to read, if I have to lie there and meditate. But it's just hard. And I get anxious, and I'm very comforted by my phone. So that's something that I'm having to sort through a little bit, and it'll relate back to the episode that we're going to talk about today. My peak of the week is Rise and Shine. Wait, you can do it better than me. Do it again.
I don't even remember the tune.
Rise and Shine.
Yeah, Rise and Shine. No. Rise and Shine.
Was too good. It's like, Rise and Shine. Like, I can't do it. Anyway, okay, so by the time this episode comes out, this may have already died on the internet because we're recording on a Friday, and it's, you know, I think it's reached its peak, this meme. I hope it hasn't. But in all honesty, I'm gonna bring this, like, real deep. I love that this type of thing is bringing people together for so many reasons. First of all, I am constantly defending the Kardashians and the Jenners.
Yeah.
And the fact that everyone is on board with this, like, whether you love them or you hate them, it's so funny. And they're in on it, too. It's not like, oh, we hate them, da da da.
Yeah.
It's just, like, this weird thing that everyone finds funny. And our friend Alana just said she was at a workout class, and the instructor ended the class by being like, okay, everyone, rise and shine. Like, it's just the best thing ever.
I absolutely agree.
Wonderful. So we're going to talk a little bit about what I talked about in therapy this week. But before we do that, we wanted to say again how thankful we are to partner with a company that is trying to modernize therapy and make it more broadly accessible. What I really like about BetterHelp is that they make it easy to switch therapists if needed, which is not really doable when you're going through individual practitioners. So I think that makes it really unique, and another reason why I'm super excited to partner with them.
Using our code, It's Fine, will get you 10% off. But keep in mind, it's totally confidential, and we don't know who signs up. Head to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/itsfine to start taking charge of your own mental health today. One of our followers actually did sign up for it. So far, they are already finding comfort because this is their first therapy experience.
Yeah.
And they're already finding comfort in some of the things that they've experienced with BetterHelp.
There's people who are doing it. You don't have to tell us. You can do it, and we won't know either way.
We won't know either way.
But if you want to share your experiences with us, you can do that too.
Right. And I only knew that they signed up because they texted me.
Absolutely.
So that's it. So we're really excited, and yeah.
Very excited.
Be excited.
So to kind of transition a little, this week in therapy, I talked a lot about my schedule. Usually my therapy is kind of related to really, really deep and crucial things like my childhood and family relationships and relationships with friends and stuff. But this became kind of like, I'm just stressed. Like, it seems mm-hmm. not a big deal, but I feel like I don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, there's something I really hate about the culture of people being like, I'm so busy. I think it can be really toxic because people love talking about how busy they are, especially in New York. And in college, it felt like that's how everyone was. So this is the first time in my life I find myself really saying it and believing it and not liking it and wanting to change the way I'm talking about it, but also wanting to change the way that I feel about it. Essentially, I think there's a big part of our culture that loves being busy, even though they say they hate it. And I am trying to figure out how to balance those two things.
That really strikes a chord with me a lot. I'm one of those people that always says I'm busy. And it's true. Like, I'm not sitting in my apartment doing nothing, you right. know, ever.
But there's also, like, I need to constantly – there's a thing of I need to constantly be doing something. You know what I mean?
That is so true. Like, I am always busy, and then I'll complain about it. But, like, if I don't have plans, then I'm like, why don't I have plans?
Right. What
like,
does
I
that
need
say
to be
about
doing
me?
Something.
Right.
And it's also in New York. Like, the hustle and bustle, and everyone wants to be doing something. Everyone wants to go. And it's – I find it really hard to just, like, never be doing anything. Even if you're – even if you think you're not doing anything, try and tell me what your schedule is for the next 3 weeks. And I'm sure, you know, you would be a lot busier than you think you are. Even if you have to, like, do your laundry, go pick something up from the store that you have forgot about this, and you have to send something to that person. Like, you would be surprised how many things just, like, rack up on the list.
Right. And even when you think you're going to lie in bed and watch TV, like, you end up texting your friends, engaging with people on Instagram, on yep. Facebook, whatever, which can be really great, don't get me wrong, but it's still, like, I don't know, what would it be like to just do nothing?
Yeah.
I haven't done it in a really long time. But I think I'm trying to figure out a way that I can manage my schedule that feels doable. I have a full-time job. I have this podcast. I've been growing my Instagram a little bit. I am applying to schools, which is really crazy, and trying to manage a long-distance relationship. So, like, help me, people. I don't mm-hmm. know what to do. And I reached out to people on Instagram, and a lot of people had helpful suggestions. Some people said using Google Calendar and a physical planner work. Some people said using one or the other. Some people recommended time batching, which have you ever tried that?
No, what is
that? Okay, so this Skinny Confidential, Lauren Everts talks about it all the time. It's essentially like blocking out every moment of your day, which I haven't gotten that far yet, but it really comes down to putting a clock on your computer, on your phone, or on a watch, saying, I'm going to do this task for 25 minutes and I'm not going to do anything else. And, like, you don't do anything else. You just do that task. So I've been doing, like, time batch light by doing, like, okay, the next 25 minutes. I don't schedule it all out at the beginning of the day, but I'll say, okay, the next 25 minutes I'm going to work on this work task and I'm not doing a single thing. And what I did find was helpful was doing it on my phone. So I would put the stopwatch on my phone so that, like, if I had the inclination to look at my phone, I couldn't because that's where the watch was. And it was a reminder of, like, 18 minutes, like, you're at 18 minutes, you have 7 left. Like, don't look at your phone. Like, keep doing what you're doing.
I'm stuck.
No, even if it means, okay, you can have water. Like, it's not that crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're not doing anything else. And I found that that was a huge part of my problem because I would do a task and it would stress me out a little and I'd be like, well, I'm just going to look at my phone.
Same.
And
oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It's challenging too because we live in this fast paced, constantly people coming at us from all different directions. Like, you'll text me, which I love, but you'll text me, my mom will text me, I'll get an email from work. I know I have 4 other tasks to do, and I'm just like, I'll stop the task that I'm doing to immediately answer. And the thing that I like about time batching is it's like, nothing is that important that if you go 25 minutes without responding about it, that something's going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And say something was going wrong, like, someone would call you. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's, God forbid, if you have that anxiety that – I know you have anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, what'll happen if someone has to call me and tell me bad news or something like that?
Yeah.
They'll call you and you'll get it. Like, put your phone on do not disturb but allow calls. That's what I always do. So you
mm-hmm.
don't get texts. But if someone's calling you, you can pick it up. I highly recommend it. I'm trying to integrate it a little bit more so that it's not like I do
this
time
batching.
This
is an app or you just
– No, I mean, I'm sure there are apps, but I'm just doing
just
it myself.
It's called time batching.
Yeah. And
Got
I'm
it.
Trying to map out tasks that I have to do a little bit better and my schedule and – I don't know. How do you feel like you manage your time?
Feeling overwhelmed, this happens to me a lot. Like, especially with work, I have a hard time when I feel overwhelmed and I feel like there's so much going on. I don't know what to do and when,
yeah.
how to time manage, how to prioritize things. It feels like, at least for my anxiety, it feels like the world is suddenly like closing in on me. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my God, like, how am I going to get everything done? So one of the things I do is I constantly write lists of every single thing I need to do. So I have a physical planner, but I usually use physical planners, like actual planners, for my personal life.
Mm.
And then for work, I have a notepad that I will literally write out every single thing I have to do, even if it's just like send email, follow up on this.
Right, even if it's just a reply.
Just a reply,
okay.
Like let them know that you got it okay. And then I look at the list. And if I'm feeling like really, really overwhelmed, that's when I write it down on paper.
Right.
But sometimes when I'm like not that stressed, I'll just write the list digitally.
Uh-huh. It's interesting that when you're not stressed, you write it digitally. That's good because it's like when you're stressed, you take the time to handwrite it because
I have to.
You know It's true. I mean, handwriting, everyone says it's better. So you know that when you're stressed, like, even though it might take a little bit longer to physically write it, it, like, puts a seed in your brain that says, like, let me cross this off my list and let me implant it in my brain so I know I have to do it.
Me doing that is a way of me – it's not because I feel like it's going to make the work, like, get done faster or better. It's a tactic that I learned – I actually don't know where I learned it. I think just like seeing other people doing it. And so I tried it out is like, even if I take those 5 extra minutes and I write every single thing down, it kind of allows my brain to process that the world isn't closing down on me. It's just this list of things in front of you that you have to get done. And it's gonna work out. I actually think my mom taught me this because I remember in high school, I would be like, like SATs, college applications, all this stuff. And my mom was like, write it down. That way you can see it in front of you, and you can, once you look at it, you're like, it's not that bad. But when it's all in your brain and you just have like a bunch of things in your brain or even on your computer and you have like 1,000 different like applications open, you feel like there's just so much to do.
Yeah.
But when you're actually writing it down, even if you have like 2 pages full of things to do, you still are like, I just wrote it down, meaning it's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I really like. And in terms of a calendar, I do everything on Google Calendar. Like, I will have therapy at 5, date at 9. Like, literally, like, that is how my calendar looks. For me, that has been extremely helpful in organizing my social life. I also have my work schedule and calendar on my phone.
Right.
So it's easier for me to go back and forth between the Outlook app and the
Google Calendar
app and just be like, okay, like my last meeting ends at this time and my first meeting starts here. So then I go back to Google Calendar and I can plan around it. So like doctor's appointments,
yoga,
before and after yoga,
right,
like hangouts, friends, dates, whatever. I'll just go back and forth. And so it really helps me because, you know, you almost always have your phone on you, and now I have an Apple Watch. And so when people ask me, can you hang? I just go on my phone, I look up the day, and I know that I made it a point to always write my plans on the day. So if it's free, that means I'm really free.
Yeah. I think the problem for me is that I do that, but then I want to get more granular, and I don't know how to get more granular. So for instance, what you were talking about is you'll set out a list of tasks to go through, like whether you're at work or whether you're going through a project, but you also have a calendar. So my question is, okay, so you have a meeting on Wednesday about a product, and you know you have to accomplish tasks for that meeting. How do you integrate the task list with the calendar, if at all? Do you know what I'm saying?
I totally do, and I don't.
Okay.
I don't integrate them. So my actual, like, physical being of places is the calendar.
Okay.
The things that I have to do when I'm sitting down at my desk is the list.
Okay.
So does that make sense?
No, of course.
Yeah, so the list is, like, I will – so this is how I break down my list. So I work for 2 different brands, and what I do is I will, in my list, I will always separate the 2 brands.
Okay.
Brand A, brand B. Then under that, I will break it down by projects. So like this TV commercial, this TV commercial, this TV commercial. And then under that, I will list what Sarah, not what the team needs to do, not what like the meetings we have, what I need to do right now when I'm sitting at my desk today that needs to be done. So that way, every time I get to my desk, I can look at my list and say, right here as I'm sitting here, this is what I need to do.
Okay. So you do it like a daily,
it's a daily thing. And I cross off and add to it all the time as the week goes on.
Okay.
But it's really helpful for me because it allows me to look at all the things I have to do when I'm actually at my desk. Like if I know I have a meeting the following week and the team needs to come up with creative for it, I won't write that down. I will write down, what do I, Sarah, need to do to make sure that that happens?
Okay.
So like send email to
That's
team
so
to make sure that they're working on the creative for next week.
I like that. I think, I don't know if you've talked to your therapist about that, but she'd probably be proud of you because I think something both of us struggle with is like we're always wondering how other people are thinking about us. So it's good that your task list is about like what do I need to accomplish that's the best for the team? Because if you start thinking about what does the team need to do, you'll combust. Like you can't do it. So I think that's really good.
And that's what group status meetings are for.
to figure out like where each single person is. Yeah. So I guess you've had a lot of experience with this because A, you've been working a little bit longer than me, but also you've been doing, you do a lot of collaborative work and I don't.
Yeah.
I do a lot of like hierarchical work. So like working under attorneys and I can ask people for help, but I think there's probably advantages and disadvantages to both of those styles of working, but it's interesting. I'm still trying to figure it out. If people could message me on Instagram, it's been so helpful, or message the podcast, because I think this is something we're definitely both learning about.
Absolutely.
Because it's a little bit of trial and error, like trying to figure out what works for me. Also, I would love to buy myself a planner. Like, I'm a sucker for products.
Oh, I love products.
I love, like, stationery and school supplies.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It makes me,
Barnes & Noble's is my favorite store.
Oh, when I was little, Staples, and also AC Moore, and my mom would kill me every time I wanted to go to that store and scrapbook. She's like, you don't even scrapbook. You just want to hold the stickers in your hand.
I went to Michael's.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't a Michael's girl.
Oh, I was a Michael's girl. All you Michaels out there, let me know.
Michael, also call me. Your name's Michael. You're single. HMU. This is – we're going to transition a little bit from, like, talking about stationery into something that's, like, really honestly a little bit hard for me to talk about, and I've been digesting on it the whole week, and I think
– She's leaving the
– Yeah, no. Oh, goodbye. It was fun while it lasted. Just changed a couple lives. That's enough.
Peace. This is her announcement. Sorry, continue.
No, that's okay. So that's – no, I like when we make tough conversations, like, funny, because that's how do we get through it. So I realized that the reason this is really hard for me is because this really is the busiest I've ever been. Like, in high school, I'm – how do I say this in a not obnoxious way? Like –
I was popular.
No, I was smart, and working and doing college applications came fairly easy to me. And then in college, I intentionally underbooked my life until junior year, I finally like kind of turned it around, and I was president of my sorority, which was incredible and humble brag. But senior year of high school, freshman year of college, sophomore year of college, like I didn't put anything on my schedule because so like when you're depressed or when I was you know, I had an eating disorder and like you can't focus on other things. Like to be very specific, when you are underfed or undernourished, whether truly like it can be with an eating disorder, or it can be someone who's struggling with depression, like you can't put energy toward other things. So I completely underbooked my life because I was like, well, I can't go to that because I don't know what the food is going to be like there. I don't know if people there are going to like me. And it's partially a regret because I think I would have had a more like lively college experience if I wasn't going through that at the time. But it's also partially I'm so thankful for it because it like it's a period of mental growth that I had to go through in order to like sit here and talk to people about it. But you know, I wasn't busy. I was busy with thinking about like my weight and my like emotions. I didn't have physical energy or mental energy to devote to anything else. And so I think that this is a challenge that while it's very stressful, like I was talking about it in therapy, how grateful I am that like this is my challenge now. Like my challenge is trying to manage a bunch of really awesome things. Mm-hmm. And also my challenge is like it's something that other people are going through more. Like it's something I can talk to other people about. Whereas mm-hmm. even though Sarah and I are trying to destigmatize talking about mental health, like back then I felt so alone. I couldn't talk to other people about how this was stressing me out. Now it's like I get to talk to Sarah about how we're both like trying to manage all these different things. And yeah, it's fucking hard, but it's also like
it's a huge accomplishment.
It's a huge accomplishment. Yeah, it's a huge accomplishment. It's like now I'm busy and it's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's like.
And you're busy because you're allowing yourself to like have all these amazing things in your life and you have like opened yourself up to all these amazing opportunities. And like, you know, sometimes I know in college I used to say to my mom, like, I'm so busy, I'm so stressed, like I have all these essays. And she would always respond and just be like, I hope this is the hardest thing you ever have to go through.
Yeah.
And like that was not trying to like belittle what I was going through, but it was like kind of a reminder that like we are so blessed to have so many things going on. And it can feel overwhelming and it can feel stressful. But when you look at it and in perspective, you're just like, I have this job that keeps me busy, keeps me challenged, is pushing me to grow whether I like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I have these friends that I have all these plans with or that like want to hang out with me or like I have all these things that I need to do in my life to be productive. And it's like, hey, you're thinking about how to be productive. Like that's amazing. Like,
yeah.
I also was at a point in my life where I was so depressed that I was sitting in my bed only watching Friends for 10 episodes in a day, like, or more, like, you know, that's That's actually 5 hours, 6 hours. I would go like 15 episodes in one day, mm-hmm. you know, like just hours and hours and hours just sitting there not wanting to do anything because I was so sad.
Right.
So it is something to celebrate being able to have all these things going on. But that being said, feeling overwhelmed is like so real.
No,
like,
for sure.
Like people laugh and they're like, you're so busy, like LOL, like you have so many plans. And I'm like, this doesn't sound like something that should stress me out, but it does.
Yeah.
I look at my calendar and someone's like, what do you have going on this week? And I have plans every single night. And like in those moments, I'm having so much fun. But when you get back to your apartment every single night at 10 or 11 p.m., you're like, oh my God, I need a break.
Yeah.
There's a few reasons why I get overwhelmed when I'm busy. I get overwhelmed when I'm busy because I feel like I'm not giving some people in my life the attention that I think I should be giving them.
Yeah, and that goes back to your
and that goes back to my anxiety of losing people. So you know, it really is
hashtag
all tied
losing
in.
People.
So if
Sarah's anxiety colon losing people TM,
literally, like
copyright.
If you're ever wondering about your anxiety and whether it all ties back into the same thing,
it does.
Literally every single time I go to therapy, every single time I will be like, I will sit down and say, I have a totally new topic for us today. And then I start talking and she goes, Sarah, this is exactly, she's like, it's the same.
She's like, losing people.
Yeah.
Sarah comes in, she's like, I'm just so busy and I'm trying to manage the stress of my podcast because I get to do this and this and this. And
she goes, let me just interrupt you because you're scared of disappointing people because you don't want to lose them.
Right. She's like, let's get to the punchline a little faster so we can break this down.
I have been like fighting with one of my friends and like, I was really sad about it because, you know, I don't like losing people. Obviously, that one's pretty direct. But like, I was talking about, like, all these details. And I was like, and I don't know why this is upsetting me. And I don't know why this is upsetting me. And she goes, Sarah, it's all tied into... Oh, my God.
Her headphones fell off. She's like, why are you paying me? It's so easy.
She's like, Sarah, it's the same story. You just don't like losing people. I think I get really overwhelmed because sometimes I feel like I can't give the people in my life attention and I feel like I'm going to lose them. But also, it's very overwhelming to feel – wait, what were you saying?
I was going
to
say, like, also you're not giving yourself
– I'm not giving myself
– like, getting home at 10, 11 p.m. and then you have to wake up for work, that's not giving yourself a lot of attention either.
And I do that every night.
Yeah, I've been doing it too, and that's, like, not a thing I usually do.
Yeah, it's
we've been doing it together, you guys.
Yeah, it's true. And it's – it can be very, very, very overwhelming to feel like there's just so much going on. Or you know what? I will literally have nothing to do one weekend and then suddenly I'm overwhelmed because of all of the life things that I have to do. Oh, God, I haven't done my laundry in weeks. Oh, I didn't pay those bills. Oh, my bills are paying up. Got to check my bank account.
Do you ever, the other day, my bank called me and I was like, wow, I haven't looked at my bank account because I've been so busy.
Yes.
And, like, I'm scared of losing my money. That's that's my TM. Liz anxiety colon losing money. You know?
I worry, like, I don't want this podcast or us talking. You're like, yes. I don't want it to seem like, you know, Liz, we have to preface it by saying Liz and I live in New York City.
Oh, yeah. We don't speak for everyone. I was actually going to say
we're not the typical – like if you live in a more quiet suburb and you might be married or maybe – I don't know. Maybe if you have kids, you're feeling overwhelmed.
I think here's the thing. I completely agree with the sentiment behind what you're saying. But like I think people are all experiencing this just in different iterations.
It's like, all relative.
It's all relative. Like we're anxious because we have this – dinner, this concert, like which, oh my God, we're so lucky.
We're
seriously
so lucky.
We have this dinner, this concert, we get to like celebrate Sukkot and we get to do our podcast and we have full-time jobs. But then like there's people in the suburbs who have children and they're like, I have a kid, I have a job, I have my husband, I have like this play group, I have this volunteer work that I do. Like truly everyone has something.
Sometimes, I mean, this obviously goes without saying, but this is what anxiety is, but sometimes it's very easy to be overwhelmed with all of the emotional things you have to figure out. Like, well, this, I kind of feel like I'm fighting with this friend. And I've written lists before for my emotional overwhelmings.
Interesting.
I don't think overwhelmings is a word.
Well, no, let's make it one.
No, but like,
for all of my overwhelmings.
My overwhelmings. That's a great word.
Overwhelmings.
No, but like, truly, like, I know we're talking about like physical activity, but like, there have been so many times where I felt so overwhelmed with all of my emotions.
Yeah.
And you don't sometimes you don't have a therapist sitting there at all times with you, and you kind of have, just have to be like.
But you can if you use BetterHelp.
You're cracking me up today. Oh my God.
You're welcome.
So sometimes I've literally written down lists of things I want to figure out emotionally to get through them. Let's say, oh, kind of fighting with this friend right now, feeling kind of sad because I'm single, feeling like my job is overwhelming me, feeling like I am losing touch with this person. Uh-huh. I will literally make a notepad on my phone, write down the things that are bothering me, and then make like a two-sentence
actionable
thing mm-hmm. that I can do for each one. The moral of the story is that lists really help.
Lists really
for
help.
For all of your overwhelmings.
I also, for all of your overwhelmings. I think Sarah and I also, we're coming at this from a similar perspective of having gone through challenging times where we weren't busy. But I want to like underscore that it's also not good to overwhelm yourself in the hope that like you'll never, because there's the opposite end of the spectrum, which is like I'm keeping busy because I don't want to deal with those underlying emotions.
Because I've been there too.
Me too. And that's not currently where I am. I think I'm busy because I'm trying to like put forth a lot of good things into the world, and mm-hmm. those things make me happy. Mm-hmm. But I really think that people should, if you are a busy person like me or Sarah, maybe we could all benefit from writing in our schedule this day. Nothing.
Right.
Like, lean into your busyness. It's okay. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to beat yourself up because you're mm-hmm. not giving yourself self-care. That's not what self-care is. Like, make it actionable. So if you're a person that puts everything in your calendar and you need time for yourself, or you need time to do laundry or call a friend, put it in your schedule.
Yeah.
I really think that that's like...
I do that sometimes
as well.
It seems
crazy because everyone's like, well, I shouldn't have to do that. But like, sure you do.
Yeah.
Like, we live in a busy time. We're young and we have a lot of things going on. I think it's totally appropriate and good to, just like Sarah writes down her overwhelmings, to write down like what you need to do, even if it's something that you feel like shouldn't have to be in your calendar.
Totally.
Put it in your calendar.
Like, Most of the time, I have therapy on Mondays from 6:30 to 7:15. And so about a year ago when I was going through my breakup, mm-hmm. my roommates and I were like, let's always be home on Mondays because we were watching Bachelorette together. It was like one of those shows and we were like, okay, let's make Mondays a thing. Once the season ended, we all had different plans on Mondays. But I always have therapy on Mondays. And after therapy, I'm usually in like a mood where I'm feeling like sometimes emotionally exhausted, sometimes really good. Mm-hmm. But regardless of the feeling I'm feeling, I feel like I made progress. Mm-hmm. Not every time, but sometimes. And I don't want to go, I actually don't want to go out into the world after that. I kind of want to go home and kind of
soak it in,
be one with my emotions. Like I was just like putting it all out there for someone, and I kind of want to go home and just like be an introvert for a night and like reflect on what we said.
Yeah.
So I've really made it a priority for Mondays to be like a me night where I'm home, and like luckily a lot of my favorite shows happen on Mondays, like Bachelor, VIP, Dancing with the Stars. So like I really pride myself on like. If people ask me to hang on Mondays, for the most part, unless it's like a really important event, for the most part, I never give out Mondays as a day that people can take from me.
Yeah.
So if someone's like, oh, what do you do on Monday? I'm like, oh, like I'm busy because I'm going to be home. And I usually say like I have therapy, but like therapy ends at 7:15. Mm-hmm. At once at 7:15, I like to go home and I like to do my own thing. So it's really important to take time for yourself, even if that means writing it into your busy schedule. And like Liz said, it is all relative. So sometimes you might not feel like you, like I don't want anyone to feel, we can take this in.
No, out, I know what
but
you
I
mean.
Don't want anyone to, I don't want anyone to feel like,
oh, I'm not busy enough.
I'm not busy enough. Or like, why do they have all these friends that contact them? Because that's not what's happening.
No.
Like I see Liz like multiple times a week.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's just us and the HGs.
No, but also just like,
when life goes through ebbs and flows, and sometimes you're busy and sometimes you're not. And like I went through a couple of years of not being busy, and sometimes people go through 6 weeks of it. Like maybe you're between jobs, you're between school and a job, and you're just not busy. And honestly, that can get really hard because you're like, what the heck do I do with myself? I used to have something scheduled every day for the past 2 years, and now I don't know what to do. It can be really hard, but I don't know. I would try and challenge people, including myself, to keep something consistent. So even if you yep. need time to relax, like keep a consistent schedule. So write down, relax. Like I already said that. But so if you know that you're going to be going between jobs, like you can still schedule out your day, even if it means scheduling a massage, scheduling a trip. Like try and keep your calendar or your lists or your methods consistent so that when life gets a little bit less busy or a little bit more busy, you still feel like you within that realm.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And I think that like when I was broken up with last year, I was spending so much time with my ex, like so much time. And we were constantly making plans together. Like all the time we had something to do. And then when we broke up, I was like, what am I going to do with my life? But I was still really busy. And I realized that it's really not about the people, like it is about the people that are in your life, but like it also is, could it just be like your personality?
Yeah.
And I feel like my personality is someone that like likes to do things. And yeah. I don't know if that's because I like to avoid my anxiety sometimes,
sure.
but you know.
That's okay. Yeah. I think that that's okay.
And I like staying busy. I like doing things. It fulfills me and it brings me joy. But like Liz said, it's really, I found through, regardless of like what I'm doing or who I'm with, I really do need to schedule time to be with me.
Yeah. I think that, you know, one of the things that we were both talking about was making lists or making plans or canceling plans, like no matter what. And I think that that's one of the things I loved about the making list thing. Like you don't realize how much time you actually save by putting out all the things that you need to do. One of the things that I struggle with is when I get to the office and I see all these emails, I'm like, well, I need to get to them right now. But in reality, if I map out everything that I need to do, it mm-hmm. will take me less time throughout yep. the duration of the day to do those tasks than if I like came across them and remembered them and then stopped the task that I'm doing mm-hmm. to go to that other thing that I forgot to write down to do. So that's a practice I'm trying to implement a little bit more. And I would stress that maybe other people try it too, because the amount of people, including my therapist, who told me that that's something that actually saves people time, mm-hmm. even though it can be really overwhelming to do it when you're in the middle of like a work storm and you're like, how am I supposed to stop and make a list of what I need to do? But I actually think that it's really effective, and probably a lot of people who are very successful would make lists. They don't just scramble to do a bunch of different things.
Totally
at
not.
Once.
And your brain can't keep up with
no.
all of the things you have to do at work.
Right.
Or in your life. Like you have to, sometimes you have to write it down. And it's taken me almost 4 years of being in the workforce to kind of like understand how to deal with these overwhelmings. But one of the things I do when I get to work and I see like you have 45 unread emails, I will read all of them. Do you ever use the flag feature?
Oh, I use it every day.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I will read every single email first. I won't respond to anything. I won't do anything. I will read each one. Mm-hmm. And every time, again, that I see an actionable item for me, I flag it.
That's what I do.
And then I change so that I change the order so that all my flags are at the top.
Uh-huh.
And then there's my to-do list right there
yeah.
at the top, the
yeah.
flags.
Yeah. I do that too, and I think I need to give myself a little bit more credit, because it sometimes feels like I'm not doing anything just because I'm doing things in a messy way. And that doesn't mean I'm not doing them. It's just like it doesn't feel super
yeah.
pretty when I'm doing it.
Same.
So moral of the story is I need to get some pretty stationery and planners to write
yeah.
everything. But like actually I think that's as much as it's not good to like rely on items so much, I think it can be really nice to be like, well, what are things I can do to make this a little easier? You know how sometimes people are like, oh, I hate shaving my legs, so I'm gonna get this really fun, like scented shaving
yes,
cream.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Like you kind of have to trick your brain sometimes into doing things that will actually make your life easier. And if that means I have to buy something, then sign me up.
No, I literally like whenever I feel stressed, I go to Barnes & Nobles. Just walking into that store makes me feel like, okay,
I know.
I'm gonna work this out, because there's 1,000 lines. You get it? Like lines of okay, there's like a million When you walk into Barnes & Noble, you see a bunch of different notebooks, papers, books, stationery, whatever, and all of those have lines on them for you to write on, and so I feel like all of those little lines are yelling at me when I walk into the store being like, write on us, we'll help you.
We'll help you. We should go to Barnes & Noble soon so that we can buy things and make sure it never goes out of business, because
I do this at least, okay, maybe not at least once a month, but I go frequently.
Okay, I want to get some physical books too, because I want to be part of the movement against iPads being the only form of reading a book. I love physical books.
Me too. I am fully a Barnes & Noble. Real physical books just make me really happy. And they make me feel like we haven't lost physical connection yet.
I also, this is another problem with me being obsessed with material items, is I picture my house having walls of books.
I picture my library.
And I'd be and people come in and they're wow, you're so smart. Liz, and I'm Liz, I know. I read all of these.
Lizzo, literally, you're speaking right to my soul.
You
right
need a
now.
Library.
I have been dreaming of my library since I was little. My parents were what are you going to do with all these books? I'm put them on a bookshelf, and then people are going to come over, and I'm just going to have read all of them. Yeah. And you know why?
Sarah. Oh my God. Because Beauty and the Beast, right? Because of the library.
Oh my God.
Because when you're saying it, I was you're Belle.
We're
aligned.
I really wish that was recorded on video, because Liz and I just freaked
we,
out.
We just had jumped out of our chairs
and stood up together. We see each other.
See each other.
That's exactly, because of Belle, she had the ladder that went across with Maurice. My dad's name is Maurice, for crying out loud.
For crying out loud. And everyone in the town was what's wrong with her?
And they were
when
she
think
loves
about it,
books. Yeah. They were all just, yeah. There she goes. There goes she. No. Oh, that's. There goes the baker with his tray like always. Na, 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 na. Every morning's just the same. Since the morning that she came.
Morning, Belle. Morning, Monsieur. Anyways. That's really funny, because we were thinking same exact thing. But in conclusion, I think that books are books for a reason. Planners are planners. So many people use them because it's a way of putting all this stress and all this craziness onto a physical thing, mm-hmm. that you can just cross it off.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think for books, it's actually funny, because when I was in college, I studied advertising. Mm-hmm. Part of my advertising capstone when I was a senior was to sell a printer. They were here's a printer, sell it to us. Our whole strategy was because we value human connection, and handing people a piece of paper or holding a piece of paper is almost one of the last pieces of physical connection that we even have in the workplace anymore. Yeah. In advertising,
limitless paper in a paperless world. In conclusion,
write things down. Bye.
Write things down. Just reach out to us. I don't know, we're trying to figure it out.
That's the whole thing, is we're trying to figure it out. And I think that a lot of people's anxiety stems yeah. from the feeling of overwhelmings and just the feeling of there's either so much going on, or I'm feeling so much, or I have so much to do, or my work, my career. There is the feeling of being overwhelmed is so common, and it's how can we work on overwhelmings together?
Also, my therapist, when I was explaining to her what I would need in a planner, I was telling her, I need to manage my job and then my side things, and also I need to manage my self-care. And she was you could make a planner if you want and then sell it, and it could be part of your massive mental health media conglomerate. And I was
yeah, that's amazing.
I was mind blown, because
wait, you should do that, Liz. No, people, people would buy it too.
Someone reached out to me and said their friend makes planners, and I emailed the person and I was I would love to work with you to design a planner, and then hopefully, if it would include her, I'm not sure, but to work with someone to create a planner. That so many people are like us, Sarah, that have full-time jobs and then side hustles, or people who are trying to transition from one to the other and have so many competing things, and also need to make time to be I need to go lie down. Mm-hmm. I need to write down affirmations for myself. And I know that there are some planners that are
that's mine is like that.
Mood planner. I need to write down an affirmation, but I want something that's more, a little bit more practical, because sometimes I look mm-hmm. at those things and I want to puke, because it's no, I'm actually really stressed, and I don't want to stop and say today I feel grateful for. I just want it to be a little bit more realistic.
Realistic. I have a planner that's on the front, it says Carpe Diem.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, you did the Joe Jonas thing.
Yeah.
Or the Jonas Brothers.
I'm really
thing.
Glad that you got that.
Yeah,
I'm
you didn't want to be explicit
so
on the
glad that
iTunes
you got that.
App.
I have a planner, and each page is it's actually really funny, because the way it talks about things is the way that I think about it in my brain. It's ugh, another list. And just funny. It's here we go again with all the things I have to do. But then it gives you all these lines. Mm-hmm. It's poking fun at the fact that you're writing it down, but it's also encouraging you to do that because it knows that's what's best. Mm-hmm. So it's fun, and each page is, like, funny. And, like, it also has little commentary on, election day, and it'll literally just be like, haha, you voting yet? LOL, you gonna vote? Like, it's just
LOL,
funny.
Exercising your civil service.
Like, literally, that's what it says. It's like, haha, are you home or not? Like, it's just, it's funny, and it just keeps me entertained, and it makes me want to open it up.
Okay. Then that's something.
Yeah. I think all of these things are really important, and I think...
I just want to say I am grateful because of all of the people that listen. That's one of the things that's keeping me busy in a good way.
Absolutely.
The DMs, I love answering them.
And
it's an activity that, yes, it takes up my time, but it's like the best time spent.
Same with the peak of the week.
It's
like fun to come up with little things to
write. It really is, because I want them to be funny, but I also want to like acknowledge that they're serious. So how do we do that? But it's been great.
Also, another thing that has been, you know, a lot of work for us is this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, we are legitimately over the moon about this podcast. Like, we love it so much. But I think part of the reason why Liz and I have been feeling recently more overwhelmed is because we have this, like, baby of ours, this passion project that we're working on that, you know, isn't really bringing in income.
Right.
Yet, but
we're not doing it for the money, but
no, but really, like, we're not, it is a passion project of ours, and you know, helping people is something we're really passionate about. So, how do you manage your job and your career and then this side project?
Yeah,
and in addition to that, I heard that people who are really rich, because that's something that I aspire to do for myself, is
what become rich
is have seven means of income.
Uh-huh.
And having seven means of income is not easy.
It's not.
We
really are trying to do this to help people, and it's a good kind of busy that we're doing here.
Yeah,
that we're making for
ourselves.
But
it's a lot of work. Like, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if everyone knows how much effort it really does take with the mics and the equipment,
the editing,
and it's just Liz and I. We don't have like a team.
No,
other than our momager Alana. But like aside from that, like
we don't have a team yet.
We do everything, and we actually, I think this conversation is helpful for us because we're trying to navigate how to become more organized in this, whether that's lists on Google Docs or Google Calendar, or trying to figure out when to record because we know we need to launch on Tuesday, and there's just a lot. So any tips would be very helpful.
Yeah, also send this to your friends. We're trying to destigmatize, and that takes a large conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If this is something that resonates with you, if you think it would resonate with a family member, a friend, a coworker, send it their way. We're open books. We're opening ourselves up in the hopes that other people can do the same.
I don't want to be embarrassed anymore about telling people. Sometimes I get embarrassed telling people I have a mental health podcast because of the stigma.
Oh, 100%. Because you don't want people to be like, what are you talking
about?
Yeah,
like, they're like, podcast, cool. What about? And I'm like,
anxiety.
Mental health, trying to change it. And they're like, oh, haha. And I'm like, all right, we need to keep going on the pod because this is exactly what the problem is here. So please share it out, and please tell your friends.
Subscribe, rate, review. Follow us on Instagram at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. You can follow me at Liz Height.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy.
And
I think that's all we got
for today. That's all we got for you.
Actually, if you wanted to listen to us talk for another 3 hours, I'm sure we could keep talking about this for days.
Just let us know.
Just let us know. We'd love to talk to you individually. We have some people that reach out to us individually. And
we love it.
Love it.
Send us your peaks of the weeks on Friday. We do it every Friday. We repost and share in gratitude. So thank you all so much.
Thank you. Oh, and with that.
Oh my God. Do it again.
And with that. It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.
You just said bye.